Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cruz here. Welcome back to another edition of the LeadX Leadership Show. Of course, this is Fan Mail Friday, where I get to rant about whatever I want and take some listener questions. It is so good to be hanging out with you again on this awesome Friday morning. It's actually 4:49 in the morning on Wednesday when I'm recording this. So, you know, hey, I'm 2 days ahead of you, but you get the idea. Anyway, as you heard the strange last week podcast, I literally was recording on the trade show floor where we launched the LeadX Academy into the wild for the first time. And it was a great experience. I mean, it didn't exactly go as I expected, but this was the first time, you know, we had a chance to talk to literally dozens of large account enterprise size clients. And, you know, they, through their questions, you know, reveal like, what are they interested in most? What features do they want next? It just was a great time talking to that many people in just a couple of days and getting their feedback. And of course, getting some leads for some pilot opportunities. So it was a great time. And it was a good humbling reminder to, it's not that you can ignore the tech, but just to always remember to go back to the basics of business, the basic of sales, the basics of life. And as I mentioned last week, that was around storytelling and connecting on a human level is the best way to make things happen, best way to persuade as well. And then while I was at the show, this is really weird. Guess who's going to NASA? Yep, I am going next week. I was invited by NASA to go down to the Kennedy Space Center to do like a day of interviews and VIP tours, and then to watch the launch of the next SpaceX rocket, Elon Musk's next SpaceX rocket, which is a resupply rocket heading up to the International Space Station. How cool is this? I'm joking with my kids. I'm going to try to, you know, stow away on the rocket so I can get up to the space station. So, you know, maybe in a week or two, I'll be recording this from 250 miles in space. So, everyone's asking me, well, how did this happen? I stumbled on a link. I think probably Elon Musk sent it out saying, hey, you know, NASA's opening up this program for like social media journalists, people like that, to come down and cover the launch. And I thought, like, you know, what are the odds? You know, there's probably not that many slots open. I don't have the biggest social media following by far. I've got a verified Twitter account and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I'm not like, I don't know, YouTuber guy or anything like that. But I thought, what the heck? And I put it in. And then they told me there's, I think, like a couple dozen of us going down. So anyway, I hope to do a lot of stuff on my social media feed. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook page and all those places if you're interested in, you know, my adventures there. And this kind of segues into another part of my rant or my ramblings this morning. The power or magic of the phrase through the lens of. And this kind of came to my attention, or I was reminded of this recently, because the marketing guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, launched yet another, I don't know what it is, you know, Instagram page, company, whatever. And he's got so much stuff going on that I literally can't remember the name of it. It's like 137 or one, I don't know what it is, some weird name like that. And, you know, when I checked it out, the description on the page was, I'm going to get this wrong, but it was something like pop culture and sports and something else through the lens of entrepreneurship. And I thought that was really fascinating because, you know, there's a lot of sites and companies out there that are all about like sports stuff and sports culture and music and hip hop culture and all these things. So like, why do we need another one? And what can Gary Vaynerchuk do to carve out space in this area? And you'll hear me talking always about anyone who wants to be a consultant, anyone who wants to start a business, you need to become the only one that does what you do. Like, how do you become the only? And Gary V is becoming the only, at least for now, by saying he's going to cover all these things that are already well covered, but his lifestyle brand, all these topics are going to be covered through the lens of entrepreneurship. So let's take a look at, you know, hip hop through this lens of entrepreneurship, you know, your entrepreneurial values, hustle, whatever, whatever. And this is actually how I did my application to NASA. So I figured, what's my angle, right? You know, I'm not a typical social media guy. I'm a 51-year-old guy with not the biggest social media following. So why would they want me? And I thought, well, you know, again, what we represent with LeadX, the podcast, the social media, the product itself, you know, it is leadership, not in just how to be a manager, but this broader philosophy and lifestyle, if I could go that far, of believing that it all starts with self-leadership and leadership is about influence, therefore we are always leading. You know the rant. And so that was my angle to NASA. I said, you know, I'm going to be interested in interviewing people and asking questions and discovering things through the lens of leadership. So it's not just through the lens of science. Hey, how does this rocket ship work? Or, you know, tell me about these experiments. You know, I'm not a science guy, right? I bet there's going to be a lot of science people there. But I can cover NASA through this lens of what does it take to be a manager at NASA, a leader at NASA, to do talent selection at NASA, to lead projects of such importance and complexity at NASA. So that was my angle. And I don't know if that's really made a difference or not, but that phrase, you know, through the lens of, is a powerful one that I think I'm going to be thinking about even more. All right, my mailbag's getting full, but email me. I love hearing from you guys, whether it's just a comment or encouragement or a complaint or an idea for a guest or a question you want answered. And today, let's see, Ash wants to know how he can do it all, or does he have to cut back on what he wants to do? Barbara runs a small law office. She's an attorney. She wants more business from big companies. And John is asking me about MITs. Does he have the right approach for his most important tasks? So you can hear, like, today, these are entrepreneurial and time and productivity. We don't have a lot of direct leadership stuff. Hope you're cool with that. If you're not, hey, I'll talk to you next week. You should get on with your day. But let's dive in. So Ash writes, my problem is I'm a student. My MIT should be graduating with splendid grades, but I'm also focused on starting a nonprofit, starting a website, dealing with real estate. I'm married. I'm trying to get a healthy diet. I'm trying to exercise. How should I implement your system since it all seems so important to me? Is the secret cutting back on projects or viewing them in a different light? Thank you, Ash. So this sounds harsh, but my advice, Ash, is we can't have it all. We can't do it all. So, you know, I often say, like, I might want to become fluent in Chinese in the next month, and I might want to write 10 books in the next month, and I might want to run a marathon in the next month, and I might want to spend every minute with my kids in the next month. No, I can't do all that. You know, there's 1,440 minutes in a day. That's the big number that can change your life. When we realize we've got 1440, you can't make more of them. And so what we need to do is pause and be mindful and start with our values. You know, what do we value most and what does that look like? So again, if you value getting good grades, you value your academic work, what does that look like? You know, does that mean straight A's? Does that mean a C average? Does that mean that to get that outcome, is that an hour of studying a day or 3 hours of studying a day? You know, that's where I would begin. You know, you go right down that list. Health. Well, what does that mean? Do you just want to look good in a suit? That's often what it means for me. Or to have energy, often what it means for me. Or, like, do you want to, like, lose 50 pounds? What number of minutes each day do you need to invest in that area of your life to achieve that outcome? So you've got, you know, imagine the 1,440 minutes are almost like currency, like money, like dollars here in the States. So I've got this money in my hand, all singles, and I'm going to put $60, 60 minutes into the health bucket for the day. And I'm going to put, you know, once those minutes are done, once that those dollars are done, they're done. So we just have to think about how do we allocate. It's about being mindful. And with, you know, being a wise old man now, when I look back, you know, we don't all have to do everything at the same time. I mean, I am still that way. But like when I had little kids, looking back, I should have just focused a little more on my kids, certainly a lot more on my marriage back in the day, and, you know, less on charity work. I know charity was work was important to me, but there's only 1440. So do you really need to do all this stuff now, or can you wait until, you know, kids are older, until you're out of school or something of that nature? So, you know, that's my advice to you on that. And then Barbara writes, I'm going to cut this short. She says, I'm writing you from Spain. I've known your website. You're in my LinkedIn contacts. I love your book. Right now, I'm the CEO of a small legal consulting firm for tech companies. We're trying to grow in sales. If you have any advice on how to get big companies to do more cases for us, let me know. And then she goes on to some other things and sends me a big hug from Santiago de Compostela. So Barbara, thank you for writing in. Thanks for being an entrepreneur. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, I've never run a law firm or law practice. So I go back to just my fundamental principles again on entrepreneurship. So it's about specializing. It's about carving out a niche and becoming the only people that do what you do. So for and first of all, Barbara, I would also say, like, are you sure you want more business from those big companies? Because by starting with who, you know, that's a good way to be the only ones that do what you do. And this applies to anything. So like if you're a fitness consultant, do you want to be amazing for, you know, expectant mothers, soon to be mothers, or for retirees, or for men, or for women, or for corporate executives who are always on the go? Like starting, identifying your who as your, you know, number one audience doesn't mean you can't work with other people, but that's important. So is the big company the right audience for you or not? But let's say they are, and you decide you want more. Then it's like big companies, you know, they're going to have in-house counsel for a lot of their regular stuff. If they're sued or they're suing someone, they're going to probably go to big, expensive, well-known law firms with hundreds of lawyers. It's big cases. So what is the area that you could take a case from a big company that doesn't require 50 attorneys working on it? And I don't know what that is. If it's you're in tech, so I don't know what it is. It could be a certain area of, you know, IP protection, or you become the best at working with, I don't know, artificial intelligence companies who have had an employee leave and they violated their employment agreement. You know, like that doesn't require a big army of lawyers. So something very, very specific. And then, you know, your branding reflects that, your outgoing marketing reflects that. You start to write up case studies. You strategically invest in these areas. I don't know, maybe you do a little study about like trial selection, you know, jury selection for these kinds of cases. And then you get that written up in, you know, a law journal that the corporate lawyers all read, or you go and do a presentation at one of the big corporate attorney conventions, et cetera. And again, it doesn't mean you stop taking other work, but it means you are proactively owning this niche space. And one client turns into two, and two turns into four. And, you know, after a few years, you're turning them down and then expanding that niche. So anyway, good luck, Barbara. Appreciate that. And then John writes in, he says, I was wondering if I could get a little clarification on the MIT, most important task principle. I'm in software sales, so sales is pretty clearly my MIT. I know I should define it better, but it's not too far away from establish new users, new programs, and increase usage by existing customers. That's my overarching MIT, but on a daily basis, I should be identifying a daily MIT, correct? So yes. So John, and John's referring to from my book, 15 Secrets. One of the big ones was that these ultra productive people, they had a daily most important task. They wrote it out on a whiteboard or on the top of their printed calendar. And then usually they had like a recurring time block at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., often for an hour. But I say, look, even 15 minutes will get you started, where before you're checking email, you know, you're just putting your phone on airplane mode, shutting your door if you have an office, and you're just putting your head down working on that MIT. So when all hell breaks loose the rest of your day and you get nothing done and all the rest, and man, have I had a couple of those days just recently, you still knocked over that one domino that got you a little closer to your big goal. So John, here's the advice though, the way you describe it. So what you had described as your MIT, you know, software sales, and then establish new users, new programs, et cetera. Here's what you got to do. What is your number one most important goal for the year? So that's going to be sales, and you need to make that specific, right? So it's like, I will sell $2 million of software by the end of this year, or I will increase sales by 20% by the end of this year. So, you know, make it specific, make it time bound. That's your goal. Now, how are you going to get there? What are the activities, projects, sub goals to achieve that big goal? Well, that is what you rattled off: establish new users, new programs, increase usage by existing customers. So that's like a layer underneath. Well, how are you going to increase usage by existing customers? So we've backed it up one more domino, and it might, let's see, increase usage. So I'm just riffing here. So you might say, oh, we really need a new client onboarding program, or we need to improve our training materials, or we need to roll out customer success software so we can monitor and score usage levels and intervene before they stop paying us and cancel their contract, right? So now you've got all these little projects that are going to get you closer to that goal. And then your daily MIT, it's, you know, what can I do today in that 15 minutes or 30 or 60, whatever it is, to get me closer? So let's just say you're like, okay, I need to increase sales by 20%. That means I need to get existing customers using the software more and for more months before canceling. A big thing then I need to do is new customer success software. What are all the things? It's going to probably be you Googling around and doing research on customer success platforms. Eventually, you've narrowed down your list and you're going to be doing interview or demos with these companies. Then maybe you need to write up a justification for your boss to go buy it. Then you're going to need to get trained in it. Then you're going to need to get it installed. Then you're going to need to, you know, so there's all these steps. And the idea is, like, each day, you know, what can I do? What domino can I tip over to get a little bit closer to that? So I hope that's helpful, John, the difference between a daily MIT, an annual goal, and then like the subordinate goals that tie the two together. Friends, if you want to see my adventures at NASA, if you want to see me hugging a SpaceX rocket, I mean, I'll certainly talk about it, I'm sure, on a future podcast. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Cruz, K-R-U-S-E. On Instagram, I'm at Kevin Author. On Facebook, my Facebook page is Cruz Author. I sure wish I could have gotten all the same names. This is a pain in the butt. If you haven't already linked with me on LinkedIn, do so. Just search me up. I come up and, you know, I accept all requests. And I'll be writing about the adventures on Forbes.com. You can always search for my name on Forbes if you want to see what articles I'm writing. On that note, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Remember, leadership is influence, so we are always leading. We are always looking at the world through the lens of leadership. The question is, how are you going to lead today?